Welcome back to the Illinois Realtors Podcast. I'm John Broadbooks with Illinois Realtors, and we're coming to you from the Association's Conference and Expo in Collinsville, Illinois. You know, Illinois Realtors has a network of local government affairs directors who work with members, the public, and policymakers to protect and enhance private property rights statewide. It's a really big job. And that's because Illinois has more units of government than any other state in the nation. That means there are more opportunities for governments to pass rules which infringe on private property rights. And one area where this comes sharply into focus is with so-called crime-free ordinances. Joining us today are Ron Diedrich, Local Government Affairs Director for Illinois Realtors, who works with associations throughout the southern part of the state. And we have Doug Hartman, Jr., who has worked closely with his local and state association on private property rights issues for many years now. Welcome, Ron and Doug. So, Ron, let me start with you. What are the basics of a crime-free ordinance, and where have we seen them become an issue in southern Illinois?
Thanks, John. So the premise of crime-free housing is that it started in the early and mid-90s in Mesa, Arizona, and spread throughout the Southwest to the Midwest. And more recently, we have seen a number of municipalities, especially in Madison County, that started to enact crime-free housing ordinances. Crime-free housing is not a new program in Illinois. It's throughout the suburbs and through northern and central Illinois, but more specifically, a number of the programs in southwestern Illinois, more specifically Metro East, they've been in place 5, 6, 7, 8 years. But we've seen this recent rebirth as a result of some of the crime problems that have came across the river from northern parts of St. Louis County and St. Louis. And as a result, a number of municipalities are trying to crack down on those things. And so crime-free, in essence, it almost kind of feels like a marketing scam because who is pro-crime? We all want safe streets, safe neighborhoods.
You're not pro-crime?
No, I'm not pro-crime. But oftentimes I'm portrayed as being pro-crime whenever I walk into a city hall to advocate on behalf of members of Greater Gateway Association of Realtors and Realtors Association of Southwestern Illinois. But with that in mind, our primary concern is on the property rights of our members, of landlords, but more specifically, we're concerned about the property and privacy rights of the tenants that reside in those. And oftentimes, crime-free housing inspections programs run afoul with basic tenants that are in the Bill of Rights and Illinois State Constitution.
Doug, there are a number of issues with these ordinances, as Ron points out, but among the biggest challenges is that many of them are crafted in such a way that they pretty severely limit due process for property owners. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it is. Thanks, John. Appreciate the question. There's a couple different scenarios. One I'll touch on is, you've got a guest that comes over, visiting somebody that lives in the building. They're maybe with a friend. Maybe the tenant doesn't actually know the person. They commit a crime. They get in a fight. They steal something. Something happens. The tenant doesn't know this person. They were a guest. They were there visiting. Well, in some of these municipalities, and fortunate enough that the ones I work in, we haven't had this happen, but the way some of these are written, the police can write a letter to the landowner and say, you have to evict them. There's not an opportunity for, and which is against the tenant as well, there's not an opportunity for them to say, hey, we did nothing wrong, we weren't a part of this, we're not responsible for that other person's actions and such. So then that landlord is forced, or that property owner is forced to, go and start an eviction process against somebody that might be a model tenant. They might be, take good care of the property. They might pay on time. The landowner might have no instance at all where they want to evict them, but they're being told by the government that they have to, which presents a pretty big problem.
Ron, I know we had a conversation a while back, and one of the issues is that there are state and federal laws which you really can run up against if you poorly craft one of these ordinances.
Yeah, and we've dealt with that in our negotiations last year with the larger municipality in Madison County. I successfully had a legal opinion that came from our in-house counsels, which kind of spelled out some of the flaws with some landlord licensure programs and crime-free addendas. And a number of those concerns were originally heard, but you have a lot of instances where a municipality, again, in the pursuit of being crime-free, is just quite frankly going to do what they want to. Consequences be darned. And it's unfortunate because, again, it goes back to those basic tenets that are in the U.S. and Illinois constitutions, which are often trampled by some of these things. And whenever we look at you know, a couple proposals that are in Springfield that would limit some of these searches. We really need to have that due process. We really need to have these municipalities go and get a traditional search warrant for some of these crime-free provisions. Because what in essence is happening is a commingling of a bureaucratic function, which our members deal with on a day-to-day basis, whether that be through the rental process or the transactional home inspection process by a municipality, and law enforcement. Whenever you dial 911, you do not want building and zoning to show up. Just the same time, our members, whenever they're engaging in rental practices or traditional home transactions, they don't want gun badge and body armor to show up at that process.
That seems a lot for a private property rights issue, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Now, Doug, as a follow-up, to be clear, nobody wants a crime-infested property.
No, absolutely not.
We're not telling local municipalities that you can't take steps to try to address crime in your community. But property owners do have rights, as Ron pointed out, and there should be some control over their investment. How do you strike a balance between property rights and the need for a municipality to address those needs to fight crime?
I think it starts with communication. There's definitely, whether some of these ordinances need to be rewritten and get some of those bad provisions out, that's one thing. But once the programs are in place, there has to be open communication between the landlords, the property owners, the tenants, and the police. Like I said, I'm very fortunate that here in Collinsville, we've got an excellent relationship with the Collinsville PD. They've got our direct lines. There's oftentimes where, hey, this person isn't on your lease, but it's a bad person. They're doing bad things. You might want to keep an eye on that building. And that stuff we had long before 2010 when Crime Free got started here in Collinsville. And, you know, hopefully we can continue that relationship. But some of these other municipalities that are just way out there on the things they're requiring are just unrealistic. So once these programs do get going, they have to look at what is good for the actual community. Everybody wants a crime-free area. That sounds awesome. Like you said, it's a marketing thing. Everybody wants to live in a crime-free area. Working together and keeping the lines of communication open is the only way you're going to better that.
So, Ron, if you were going to draw up a crime-free ordinance, what are sort of the essential elements that a municipality should consider when they're doing this?
Voluntary. That's a primary thing right there. So,
and by voluntary you mean?
Well, I'll give an example. So the village of Swansea back in late 2018 installed a voluntary crime-free housing provision. A lot of the language was modeled after Belleville's program, which Belleville is a home rule unit of government and has had their programming in place since I believe 2012 or 2013. But their primary concern, Swansea not being a home rule unit of government, they're limited in terms of some of the things that they can do. So first off, I believe maybe their occupancy permit fees may have been $50. So if landlords volunteered to enter the program, then they went through the crime-free programming class, which was offered by the village. And, you know, as Doug was sitting next to me, you know, their firm has a number of rentals across a number of communities. So if Doug had already done, you know, crime-free programming in insert whatever municipality, likely Doug would be able to present that certificate from that municipality and say, hey, I've already done my crime-free class, my programming. So they'd say, okay, Doug, you're entered in the program. So whenever Doug goes to do that first showing, that first lease with the occupancy permit and that thing, and those processes, so that $50 fee maybe got dropped to $25. And again, it was, most importantly, one, it was voluntary, but secondly, it was incentive-based. It was not punitive, as we're seeing with some of this rebirth of crime-free provisions throughout northern Madison County. But to that end, we want to be community partners. We want to as Doug said a few minutes ago, we want clean communities, want crime-free communities, but at the same time, we want these processes to be done correctly and within the confines of state and federal statutes, and most importantly, under the auspices of, you know, the constitutions. And so we'll work with that municipality on whatever provision they want. Another key thing that we'd like to see in these is transparency. And, you know, hats off to the city of Belleville, because a number of years ago, my predecessor, GJR CEO Kyle Anderson, was able to negotiate a transparency provision in there that called for a crime-free housing committee to meet every 6 months. That crime-free housing committee is made up of landlords, tenants, city staff, aldermen, core constituencies that are involved in the rental business. And so they get together every 6 months. They review the revenues, the police call-outs, any other statistics that are associated with this. It provides transparency. And unfortunately, there's some of these municipalities that are considering crime-free, which will not even entertain the thought, the notion of a crime-free housing committee.
You know, it's interesting. So really, it comes down to three essential things, is what I'm hearing both of you say. And that is transparency in the process for property owners, elements of due process, and then really, I think you hit on communication. You know, if that's sort of the three legs here of the stool that you have to have for that. Is that accurate?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's an aspiration for a community to be as crime-free as possible. And you get a lot of these municipalities that seem to sort of rush into this. What is your best advice for a community that's looking for, that really wants to try to come up with something to look at private property and how they can control crime?
Meet with the Rons out there that'll talk to them and tell them the pros and the cons and what's worked and what's not worked, so that when they do implement it, it's a lot smoother than some of these other programs that have failed.
Well, thank you, Ron and Doug. I really appreciate you stopping by the Expo today. We're coming to you live from the Spring Conference and Expo here in scenic Collinsville at the Gateway Center. And Ron and Doug have been talking about crime-free ordinances. And thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, John.
The Illinois Realtors cares about property owners and the people who rely on them. That's why we have a team of advocates, and you heard from one of them, Ron Diedrich, just a second ago. And these advocates work statewide on issues ranging from crime-free ordinances to home rule to rent control. Illinois Realtors has more than 50,000 members, and our government affairs staff works on issues at the local, state, and national levels. To learn more about the association's advocacy, please go to illinoisrealtors.org today. Thanks for listening.